And joining us right now at PNP Network is Lori Loughlin. You know her, you love her, and you remember her, of course, for the quintessential family person she was at Full House and, of course, on 90210. But she has done many things. We're going to talk about some of the things she's doing outside of television for some good people. But let's talk a little bit, first of all, about your television career and your life. Lori, welcome to the program.
Okay. Thank you so much.
And first of all, tell us a little bit about where you're from and how you broke into the business.
Well, I am originally from New York. I grew up on Long Island. And how I got into the business was many years ago. I went to an open call at a modeling agency and really had nobody in my family was in the entertainment industry. But I went in with some friends and I was accepted by this modeling agency. And that's really how I started. I always wanted to be an actress, but then I started doing some modeling, a couple commercials, and then when I was 16, I got a part on a daytime soap opera called The Edge of Night, and I did that for 3.5 years. And that was really, the TV movie before that with Michael Moriarty and Blythe Danner had a small part in that, but breaking into daytime television was like my real, like, you know, inroads to acting and into the business.
Now, of course, most people know you from Full House and the new 90210, but I remember actually a couple of performances you did in the 80s. On daytime television and the children's shows. One of them was No Means No, and the other one was, I think it was related to babies.
It was called Babies Having Babies, yeah. Well, it was about teenage pregnancy, and No Means No was about date rape. Yeah, they were after-school specials, which I don't even think they do anymore. I don't even think they make after-school specials, but, you know, they were good, and they were, Martin Sheen directed Babies Having Babies, actually, and, yeah, they were just informative television for, you know, young teenage girls, mostly, you know, coming home after school. That's why they were broadcast, and they were called after school specials.
And I know that you got nominated for a Daytime Emmy with the No Means No, and also got a Michael Landon Award for the other one. So
I did, yes.
Yeah, you were recognized for some of the work you did. You know, all of us know you from Full House. In fact, that show particularly, when my kids were little, they would always sit and we'd watch it together with the Olsen twins and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was a huge show. How did the incredible success of Full House change your life?
Well, I mean, first of all, it really made me more of a household name than I'd ever been. It was a primetime show. It was in the top 10. It was on ABC for 8 seasons. So for me, it gave me more recognizability within the business. It certainly helped me financially because when I had gotten that show, I had always worked as an actor and I was very fortunate, but, you know, I was living paycheck to paycheck and finally I landed this job where I was actually on a show for a long time and I could, you know, put some money away and buy a house. So, you know, financially it changed my life. You know, it was a wonderful working experience. I had a great time with the entire cast. We got along so well. We had so much fun. So all around, I'd say it was one of my better experiences in the business. And I've been in the business a long time, but I have such fond memories of Full House. And I think that's one of the reasons the show was so successful was we got along so well. I think you could tell when you watched the show that we were having a good time because we really did love each other and were laughing constantly, you know, off camera. And I think that really came across.
And Becky was such a likable character that everybody, I'm sure, loves you when they meet you. They think of Becky.
Yeah. I still have people come up to me today, and they're like, Aunt Becky, Aunt Becky. And it's very flattering.
But, you know, it's interesting to note all the series that you've done. I didn't realize how many that you – I know Hudson Street, you were a regular on that series as well.
Yes, I was.
And, of course, 90210.
With Tony Danza. Yeah, with Tony Danza. It was you know, it was a brief run of Hudson Street, but it was a good show. It just didn't quite make it.
Well, we liked it around here because it had a local flavor to it because it was and it starred I can't believe I forgot his name. That's terrible. But he passed
Tony
away
Danza.
From cancer.
Oh, are you talking about the older gentleman?
Yeah.
Oh, I know who you mean, and I can't think of his name right now either. That's horrible.
Yeah.
Played the chief of police. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, of course, someone named Hawk was also in it. Yeah, but
yeah,
it was a great. You played Melanie on that show, and it was a.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. You were on. It was 22 episodes. A lot of people thought it was a shorter time span, but it was a good show. I liked that. You did a lot of guest appearances on a number of shows. Your IMDb base is pretty large. One of them that stands out, though, I wanted to know a little bit about it, is you did a Seinfeld episode. You played Patty on the Serenity Now.
Yes, I did.
Tell us a little bit about that and what it was like working on that show.
It was actually very flattering to get that phone call and to get the offer to be on Seinfeld. And what was really nice was it was the last season. I was like, oh, I made it under the wire. I'm going to finally get to do an episode of Seinfeld. It was fun, though. That was a, by the time I, you know, went to do that guest spot on that show, I mean, the show had been on for so long. It was just a well-run machine. Those actors knew those parts like the back of their hand. But they were so much fun, and they were so nice. It was a very easy, relaxed, very nice set. Everyone made you feel really warm and welcome. So it was a good experience. And like I said, it was really nice to be part of a piece of, you know, television history, because that show is one of the biggest hits of all time to ever be on the air.
Remind us a little bit about the episode and Patty in the episode.
Patty was one of Jerry's many girlfriends, but she broke up with him, and he cried, and that was the first time he ever cried over somebody breaking up with him. So that was the premise of that.
Because I remember Serenity Now, George's dad used to say that all the time.
Yeah, Serenity Now, Serenity Now, yeah.
But I'm looking at some of the things that you did. You also did a few episodes of Spin City, which must have been a lot of fun.
Oh, it was great. I wasn't on early on when Michael was on the show, but I guest starred on a few episodes when Charlie Sheen had taken over. And it was shooting back in Los Angeles. But it was, again, a great cast, really good group of people. Nice part, and really just, you know, so much fun and an honor to be on it.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. You did a lot of comedies, but you've also done, you know, some dramas and those things. There's a nice mix, you know, between Drew Carey and you also did the Justice League and Jake in Progress and 26 episodes of a show called Summerland.
Yes, and that was a show that was really very dear to me. That was one of the creators and producers of that show, so I really liked Summerland. I thought we had a phenomenal cast, a really good show on our hands, and the show was doing well for the WB. It was then the WB, but then they had a new president come in, and the president that we were developed under, unfortunately, had, you know, moved on, and they brought a new president in, and this president was going to make his own mark. And so often this happens in the world of television, where shows that are, you know, just up and coming are not, you know, a new president will come in and take over, and then they want to put their own stuff on the air, and they end up canceling a show or, you know, just not embracing it in the way that the previous person that it was developed under embraces it.
A lot of people don't realize the politics involved in successive shows.
There's so, you know, it's so political, and it was really my first time working behind scenes where I really got to see the politics and what went down, and honestly, sometimes how ludicrous it could be, and you know, decisions that boil down to literally like, well, I want to put my shows on because I have a big ego, and I need that time, you know, that time slot. It's just unbelievable. It's so much egos involved, and it was a wonderful experience, and at the same time, it was a very eye-opening experience, and it was, you know, at times it could be a little disheartening.
So Summerland, is it on DVD if folks want to see it?
You know, I don't know if it is on DVD. I don't think it is. I could be wrong, though. I could be so wrong. I don't have a box set of it, if it is.
That's too bad, because that actually would do well on DVD, actually, you know?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if maybe if I don't even know if there are enough episodes for it to be on. But I guess other shows have gone on.
Yeah, there's 26 episodes. They could certainly do a box set of it, a small box. Yeah.
Maybe
you should talk to him since you have ownership of that show as well, right?
Yeah. So maybe I will. Circle back around.
Now, there's another show that you did, too, 13 episodes of, called In Case of Emergency, where you played a doctor.
Yes, with David Arquette and Jonathan Silverman and Greg Gurman. It was that was really fun. Unfortunately for us, we were a mid-season replacement show, and they put us on up against American Idol.
Oh, so, bye-bye.
So I have to say, from the get-go, we really, really didn't stand a chance.
I guess not. Now, you had, didn't you have some kind of connection with American Idol or something?
Oh, you know what? I'm a huge fan.
Well, you were in the audience, I guess, a few times.
I've been in the audience a couple times. I'm a big fan, and my kids are big fans. And so a really good friend of mine is Paula's publicist. And so he's so kind, and he always gets us tickets every season, and we get to go and watch the show. And it's such a treat. But we love that show.
So what do you think of the fact that Paula's not on there now?
No, I'm not happy about that.
Yeah.
I refuse to believe it. I keep thinking something's going to happen and she's going to go back.
I think it loses some of its charm and character without her.
I think so, too. You need Paula.
Yeah, I think so.
You really need her.
Yeah, and they can't really replace her. Some of these, you love Randy and you love Simon, but you're missing that little piece in the middle there. And the woman they brought in last year is not the answer to that.
Yeah, no, I thought she did a fine job, Cara. I have I didn't have a problem. I thought she was really gave some good advice and definitely knows her, knows music.
But she's not
there's
Paula,
just something.
Though.
She's not Paula. And, it's like anything. When you, it's interesting. It's almost like Farrah Fawcett and Charlie's Angels. How Farrah Fawcett really only did one season, but she was one of the original cast members. So you always, when you think of that show, you think of Farrah, Kate Jackson, and Jacqueline Smith, and you really don't ever think about Cheryl Ladd, although Cheryl Ladd did far more seasons than Farrah did. But there's just something about being the original cast member that, it's hard to get by that.
Talking about original casts, I was a big fan of 90210, and now there's a remake of it, and you star as Debbie Wilson in this. Tell us a little bit about the new version of 90210 and what you're playing on the show.
Well, I play the mom, and it's the same in the sense that it's about a family that's moving from the Midwest to California, and they have two teenage children that are going to West Beverly High. And I think it was clever of the CW to buy the name 90210 because it's a great franchise, and it's well known around the world. But after that, it is its own show. It's a whole new cast. And we have an incredible young cast, different storylines, and, essentially different characters, except for Jenny Garth coming back.
Mm-hmm. Now, Shannon Doherty, wasn't she on the show for a little while, too, or no?
Shannon Doherty came back the first season and did, I think, 3 or 4 episodes. And I don't know if she's coming back the second season, because what the writers are really focusing on now for the second season is taking, like, the new cast and the younger cast and not falling back on old cast members from 90210. The new writers really want to focus on this young group of people and have the show stand on its own now and not be tied to the original.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. But I get a little annoyed when I see old TV shows recycled in movies and old TV shows recycled on TV, like Melrose Place is coming back. It'd be nice to have some original stuff. And the fact that 90210 at least has some kind of original plot lines and characters is good, I guess.
No, I think so. And that will be, I think, the same, although I haven't seen Melrose Place, but I think that will be the same for Melrose Place. I think what it is to see, again, I think it's really smart on the CW's part and their marketing, because it's very marketable, it's very well known, and for the CW being a smaller network, to have that heightened awareness that they're around, that these shows are back, that's really good for them. Look, it's really easy to do. So many shows are always recycled. So what they've done is they've tapped into a brand name that people know, and then you turn the show on, and it's set in Beverly Hills. And yes, Melrose Place is set at the Melrose Apartment Place complex, but it's new characters, it's a new storylines, and essentially it's a new show.
Mm. Now, this is a good opportunity for you in terms of playing the mom on this, although I still picture you as too hot to be a mom, but hey, what do I know?
That's funny.
Do you find that there's still a lot of opportunity for actresses in their 40s as they were in your 20s?
I mean, I have to say, I've been very lucky. I've been in the business for over 20 years, and I've worked consistently those 20 years. I think also the fact that the attitude in today's society is changing a little bit, whereas you're not being written off as old once you hit your 40s, and the whole slogan of, 40 is the new 30. But I think that, more and more people are taking that to heart. So there's opportunity, and people are willing to look at actresses in their 40s and give them an opportunity, to play exciting roles.
Hmm. Have you been doing a lot of movie work as well?
I have. I did a movie, I did a small part in a movie that is starring John Travolta and Robin Williams, called Old Dogs, that will be out in Thanksgiving of this year.
Oh.
And then I also did a Hallmark movie during my hiatus from 90210 called A Soldier's Love Story that I think will be on sometime in January.
So you're still doing the films. That must have been fun working with Travolta.
Oh, I had a great time working with John, and I had he was just so lovely, and Robin so funny, and they were so professional and yet very engaging, and made me feel so welcome, because I'll tell you what, walking on a set with big stars like that is very intimidating, and they bent over backwards to make everybody feel welcome and wanted. They're true, true gentlemen.
That's a nice testament. Now, what kind of movie is Old Dogs? What is it about?
It's a comedy, and John and Robin are old friends that are getting ready to start some new business adventure, and then Robin finds out from his first marriage that he actually has two children, and his wife and ex-wife in the movie is played by Kelly Preston, John's actual wife. So she's in the film too. And so then it's all of the craziness that ensues when Robin finds out that he has these two children that are 8 years old and twins, and now she needs to go away for like this. She actually has to do time in jail because she's actually a peaceful, you know, picketer, but she gets arrested and she needs to do some jail time. So she has to leave the kids with somebody, and she has nobody, and she looks him up. And so it's all the craziness that ensues when John and Robin, who have never taken care of kids, now are trying to watch these kids and start this new business. And you have to see it. It's very funny. Walt Becker directed it. He did Wild Hogs. It's just a funny film. It's a good family film. It's good for the holidays.
We're talking with actress Lori Loughlin, who you're best known for roles on Full House and the new 90210, but you're also a mom. And
you got involved
in something that I find interesting. It's called Voices of Meningitis. Tell us a little bit about how you got involved in this whole thing.
Well, I was approached by the people that are running the campaign for Voices of Meningitis. And I was completely unaware of this particular strain of meningitis, which is called meningococcal meningitis. And what they did was they approached me and said, listen, we want to get the word out there that there is a vaccine that can you'd be given to your child. And the problem with meningococcal meningitis is it can be deadly. And so your child can get the virus or the bacteria, and within 24 hours, kids have died because it starts out like the flu. So most people think their child has the flu. And then by the time you realize that it's not the flu and it's something much more severe, it's too late. So it's preventable with a vaccination. And I have children that are really, I guess, in the higher risk category, and that's one of the reasons they also asked me to be a spokesperson. And again, I didn't even realize, like, my kids at ages 11 and 10, you know, 10, 11, and 17 should be vaccinated, and my kids all have now been vaccinated.
Are any of your children?
I'll give you the website. It's voicesofmeningitis.org, and meningitis.org, and you can get all the information. And I just urge parents to go and check it out and see if this vaccine might be something that could be good for your, you know, for your kids.
They should talk to their child's school nurse or maybe their
primary
doctor.
They should talk to the nurse, the pediatrician, and just see if I made the decision that it was right for my children. And you know, it's like that old adage: an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And I think in this case, that's really the truth, because if they do pick up this particular meningococcal meningitis, it can kill them, and it doesn't have to happen that way.
Mm. Now, how long ago did you have your children vaccinated?
Last week, actually. We did our yearly checkup at the pediatrician, and we went last week.
So you talked about it with the doctor, and all three children got vaccinated?
Actually, yes, and actually, I didn't even have to bring it up, because my doctor looked at the records, and he said, oh, my goodness, they all need this vaccination. And I said, that's so funny. I was just going to talk to you about that, because I am the spokesperson, and I was not aware of this meningococcal meningitis. And he said, oh, yeah, no, it's quite serious, and we just vaccinate him, and then we don't have to worry about it. So I said, okay, good with me.
Well, it's something. It's close to my heart because I actually had spinal meningitis many years ago, and I was in the hospital for a while, and it's very tough. So, if it can be prevented, it's a good thing to go through. Now, how much research has been into this vaccine in terms of any long-term effects?
The vaccine's actually been around for a long time, since the 1970s.
So they do know the long-term effects of it.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. So this is important, and again, they can go to voicesofmeningitis.org, O-R-G.
Yes.
And this is all from the National Association of School Nurses, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, which is something that's a nice thing for you to get involved with. Are any of your children in showbiz at all?
No, they're not. They're not. My daughters are. They say they want to be actresses, but we'll see what happens. I tell them they have to go to college first.
Yeah. Well, you know what kind of work? Were you actually? Weren't you a print model when you were about 11 years old?
Yes, I was.
So I mean, you've been in show business for a long time.
I have. So it's a bit hypocritical for me to tell my kids to go to college, but I think that's what they should do.
Well, when you were 11 years old, did your parents say to you, "Hey, Lori, you know, before you do all this stuff, you need to go to college"?
No, they didn't actually say that. I really wanted to do it, and they just said to me, "Listen, you have to keep your grades up, and you can't have, you know, a change in attitude, and you know, you need to just remain who you are. And if we see any changes that, you know, for the negative, we're going to pull you right out of the business."
So, just to remind our folks out there again, voicesofmeningitis.org, and also public health officials are recommending vaccinations for preteens and teens 11 through 18 years of age, and college freshmen living in dormitories as well. So,
yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's important.
They are definitely the higher risk group, and it's important for parents to explore the vaccination for them.
Well, we look forward to watching Lori in Old Dogs in the movie theaters and of 90210 on TV. And thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.